Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
For the second year in a row, Arkansas is the last SEC team standing in the NCAA tournament. The Razorbacks are back in the Sweet 16. They'll play Gonzaga on Thursday evening in San Francisco. The Bulldogs, the number one overall seed in the tournament. The West region, the only bracket where the 1-4 seeds are still standing. Duke and Texas Tech are also going to play on the other side of the bracket in San Francisco. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com and Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated to break down the Razorbacks' latest NCAA tournament game. And I'm not sure there's a whole lot to break down. If you ask some people, it might have set basketball back a few years with the Razorbacks beating New Mexico State 53-48 on Saturday night up in Buffalo. Scotty, you were there sitting courtside. What are your overall thoughts from that game and from Arkansas's performance?
Yeah, it's just another case of, you know, Arkansas just figuring out a way to win a ball game that they didn't particularly play well in on the offensive end. I think I went back and looked through Arkansas's history on KenPom.com, and it was the worst offensive efficiency rating they've posted since they lost, I think, by 30 plus points at Mississippi State in 2016. And it was a pretty ugly watch in terms of offensive basketball, but both teams just played, you know, their hearts out on the defensive end and made things really, really difficult for the other one. And Arkansas just, I think that's the second time, maybe the third time this year, Arkansas has won a game when they've scored in the 50s because they've held an opponent to below 50. And the job Audis Toney did, you know, against Teddy Allen, who was really the story of the NCAA tournament on the first day, maybe you could say the first 2 days, maybe outside of St. Peter's beating Kentucky. But, you know, Audis Toney was lights out, and Teddy Allen hit a couple of really tough shots early in the game, and then I think he hit three shots the last 30 plus minutes of that game. And Audis, just he deserves so much credit for the way that he played. And Eric Musselman kind of rewarded him after the game by, you know, allowing him to push the Arkansas plaque forward on the bracket coming out of Buffalo. And I thought that was a pretty neat moment, because Audis, he deserves it more than anybody for the way he played defensively and coming back from injury the way that he has. He played 38, 39, 40, and 40 minutes in the four games he's come back from that foot when he missed the Tennessee game. He's just been awesome. And this Arkansas team, they went ugly, but they're tough. And, you know, there's you know, a lot of people probably saying that Arkansas got really lucky playing the seeded teams that they did, but hey, you look across the SEC, there's some teams that had games that technically looked easier than the one that Arkansas got, and they lost those. So you can't really say much about a team that just keeps advancing at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think Alabama lost to a double digit seed, Auburn lost to a double digit seed, Kentucky obviously lost to a 15 seed. You just play the hand you're dealt. I mean, you know, and for Arkansas, I think that when you get into the tournament, a lot of it is about getting breaks. If you're going to advance in the tournament, a lot of it's about getting breaks. I don't know that Arkansas was a very good matchup for UConn. I didn't think they would beat UConn if they would have played them in the second round, but they got the break because New Mexico State beat UConn. And, you know, they got a break last year. They got to play ORU, although that wasn't an easy game. They had a hard time beating ORU. It's just all about getting breaks this time of year. You mentioned Audis Toney and Dudley. I don't know that a month ago I would have thought that Audis Toney was like the glue to this team, but I'm not so sure that that's not the case. I mean, you think back to the last regular season game of the season when he wasn't out there against Tennessee, the Volunteers had probably their best offensive game of the season. But ever since he's come back, and it really makes you appreciate maybe what he was doing in those games leading up to Knoxville, defensively, they've been pretty good. A&M game probably notwithstanding. But Toney is such an integral piece to this team, and I don't know that I would have really thought that a month ago.
Yeah, and you know, when he started out the season, I think he was one of their better players. Obviously, when they went to Kansas City for the tournament, he had a couple of really good efforts, but is not a guy that, you know, brings a lot aesthetically pleasing offensively, but he does a great job cutting and getting baskets. And as y'all have mentioned, the defense he's had this year has just been, you know, unbelievable at times. I'm glad he's getting rewarded with the acknowledgement of that. He seems like a very good young man. I was about to say kid, but he's 22, 23. So, you know, he's grown up. And I think that's part of the deal here too. While some of these transfers, you know, you could say they were hit or miss or whatever, I think he's been a hit overall. And it's, you have to look at it from a defensive standpoint, from a glue standpoint, from a standpoint that when I've always said that there are times you can be as athletically gifted as you want, but if you're not in the right place at the right time, it's going to cost your team. And Audis seems to be in the right place at the right time all the time. And you could see how frustrated not only Teddy Buckets was, but his teammates, because he was the lift that they've had for most of the season. I mean, they've got a very good, you know, very good roster and all that, but he was their guy.
Scotty, does it seem to you like they're using Tony differently, maybe since the first 3-4 weeks of the season? Maybe I remember this wrong, but when they were playing, say, like in Kansas City, when he had that really great weekend and he was the MVP of the Hall of Fame Classic, it seemed like maybe defensively and in terms of positioning him, they were using him differently than they've done over the last couple of months of the year.
Yeah, that's possible. And I think it just could be a case that, you know, Audis over time has shown the coaching staff that he's capable of, you know, just being multiple defensively. I think he's, throughout the year, he's been a pretty solid defensive player. You know, I track shots defended for each game, and he's a guy that, compared to maybe a Stanley Amude, who's another really good perimeter defender, like Audis Tony's field goal percentage allowed or against opponents is not, probably not all that great, I would say, just because, I mean, he gets matched up with really, really tough perimeter matchups every game. And a lot of those guys are really skilled perimeter, you know, 3-point shooters, guys that can break you down off the dribble too sometimes. And Stan's been really, really good defensively too. I think defenders shot like somewhere around like 30% for the entire season against him. Audis's numbers are a little bit worse, but I mean, I would say that Audis has probably checked tougher guards than Stanley has. But I will say that, you know, Audis, there's just something about him that, you know, he was just so locked in the other night. Like, I just remember watching him just follow Teddy Allen around. And I thought, listening to Audis after the game the other night, it was really interesting. And it made sense kind of when he said it. But, you know, when Teddy Allen was putting kind of the final nail in UConn, he went and got the ball. He was much more assertive and just like wanted the ball on every single possession against UConn, just because he knew he had his offense rolling. Against Arkansas, it was like it's almost like he was perfectly fine with Jabari Rice bringing the ball up the floor. And if he didn't touch the ball on a certain possession, it seemed like he was cool with it. And Audis, after the game, said that he could tell that he was getting a little bit frustrated on a couple possessions early in the second half. And then he said it didn't seem like Teddy Allen just really wanted the ball that much in the second half, which that was kind of surprising. Like, I think he finished with 12 points. He took 16 shots. I would not have guessed, if I didn't have stat broadcast in front of me, that he had taken 16 shots. It just seemed like he was much more limited than that. But the shots he did take, they were really tough. Like, even the five that he did make, I would be willing to bet, you know, probably 3 or 4 of them were contested, hand right in his face, and he just made a tough shot. But in the college game with guards that aren't, you know, as talented, obviously, as guys at the next level, those tough contested shots, much, much, much more often than not, that's not sustainable. And we saw Teddy Allen really struggle, I think, for the most part of the game, especially probably the last three quarters of that ball game.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all saw it, but there was one time during the game that Teddy Buckets said, "Get off me." which was just frustration on his part, but you know, you could hear it over the microphone on TV. So that tells you what was going on.
The 48 points that New Mexico State scored the other night were the second fewest ever scored against Arkansas in the NCAA tournament. And you have to go all the way back to 1949 to find a team that had scored that few points. It was Wyoming in 1949, Wyoming in 1941, the first time Arkansas ever played an NCAA tournament game, scored 40 against the Razorbacks. The Cowboys, if you don't know, were a basketball powerhouse in the 1940s. And so the Razorbacks and Wyoming saw each other quite a bit there. I don't know, though, Scotty, that I would have ever predicted this Arkansas team to play in that type of game. You know, I know they played Tennessee like that earlier this year, but when you just look at the offensive efficiency that Arkansas has had for the better part of a couple of months, obviously the way that New Mexico State had played against UConn, I couldn't have expected a game that barely hit 100 points combined the way it did.
No, me neither. But you know, we know that Arkansas, you know, they can put up points, you know, if they, I think the key to it is just obviously finishing, you know, your layups around the rim, and maybe you get some three pointers from guys like Stan, who can, you know, knock them down in bunches, and then Jalen's capable. JD's really struggling from deep, but he's finding other ways to score, obviously. But I mean, you look it back, we don't really even have to look back that far. Last time Arkansas played a game like that, though, I mean, it was Tennessee and Bud Walton. I mean, that was 58-48. Kind of had a similar flow. I remember in both games thinking that, you know, one team was going to hit a big shot to maybe either get back into it or create a little bit of separation. And there was like this really, really long lull on the offensive end, and neither team could buy a bucket. And I remember the other night in the second half, I think both teams were really struggling to score, and Stanley Amude really confidently pulled the trigger on a left wing three. And I was thinking, man, if he hits this shot, this could be my sidebar right here. He breaks a long scoring drought for both sides and maybe puts the game away. And then that shot, I think, hits the pad on like the underside of the right side of the backboard. And then the whole place just like starts groaning. And then I think there were consecutive misses on both ends after that too. It was pretty ugly. But Hunter Yurcheck says there's no ugly wins this time of the year. And I guess he's in a way he's right, but Arkansas, that's just kind of what Arkansas's been. Like, their offensive rating is really, really low, you know, especially in the NCAA tournament, but their defensive rating, I think, puts them in like the 99th or 100th percentile. And that's a fantastic place to be. And another place they're thriving right now is they get to the free throw line a lot. And that's a hallmark of an Eric Musselman team, you know, as well as, you know, they're not turning their opponents over. Like, they haven't turned their opponents over really just a whole lot outside of the first half of the New Mexico State game. I think they turned it over 12 times. But they're taking really good care of the basketball, and they're getting to the free throw line. I think, you know, I think for every 10 shots they take, maybe four, taking close to five free throws. So that's a pretty good recipe for success, even when you're shooting as poor as they have been.
The Sweet 16 seems like it's been the benchmark for Arkansas for a long time. You know, when Mike Anderson was fired a few years ago, it was the fact that he hadn't taken the team to the Sweet 16. There was all this talk about they hadn't been to the Sweet 16 since 1996. Eric Musselman's done it 2 years in a row now, Dudley. And I wonder what you think the significance is of that as you talk to recruits and as they, you know, try to continue to move this train down the track over the next few years, so to speak, in their recruiting efforts, the significance of getting to this point, the second weekend of the tournament, back-to-back years.
Well, I think it's really big, and I've talked to a few of them as we've gone along here in the last week or so, and a little bit yesterday. And I would tell you that Arkansas can sell the point. Not only are they reaching the Sweet 16, but they've been the last SEC team left standing. And Kentucky's always going to recruit well. You know, Alabama under Nate Oates has done that well, and so has Auburn. But they're able to sell that being the last SEC team in. I saw somebody was joking yesterday, if you want to go on spring break, go to one of the other 13 SEC teams, which, you know, sounds funny. But I think that – you know, it's something they can sell. The fact that he's had so much success, and you couple that with all the NBA experience that he has and that the coaches on his staff do, as well as just his social media presence and his charisma to get that out to the kids and stuff. I think it's hard to quantify, but it's certainly something that plays into these discussions when I call the recruits. And oftentimes they bring it up because they've been sold on it by the coaches already.
I would have to think that if I'm a recruit and I'm listening to Eric Musselman's post-game press conference the other night after New Mexico State, where he's talking about, I've still got all of my NBA notes, and we went back and looked at how we defended Kobe Bryant, and we tried to use some of those same philosophy. That, to me, I think, you know, is just a really big selling point. It's not the winning. It's the overall package. And, you know, certainly I thought that was – those were really interesting comments the other night, Scotty.
Yeah, for sure. And to Dudley's point, you know, just about Arkansas, you know, getting back to the Sweet 16 for the second year in a row, I think, like, the casual basketball fan, too, who maybe only tunes in for the NCAA tournament, they've now seen Arkansas's name as one of the last 16 teams in the field. And I think, you know, maybe there's probably some people that are like, wow, that's interesting. You know, they're back 2 years in a row, and, you know, they're probably going to – I would say probably get used to this, you know, because Eric is so good at, you know, just taking things one game at a time, and there is – no other time of the year where it's more important to, like, just focus in singularly on one game and one opponent. And, you know, sometimes it's just about shutting one guy down, and you can tie one hand behind that team's back and keep moving on. Talking about the notes that he kept, you know, from long time ago, like, we heard that in the day before the game, when I think it was the Buffalo News guy asked what it was going to be like preparing for a guy like Teddy Allen. And Eric was like, well, you know, he obviously not trying to sound like a jerk, but he's like, well, I've prepared for Kobe and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and those guys. So, you know, he's still got those notes, and it's so interesting to go back and, you know, you throw a obviously to stop or limit the guys like he's faced in the NBA, and then you throw the similar complicated concepts and schemes at a college kid, like that's going to throw most kids and most opposing coaches for a loop. And it really did the other night. And I thought it was really interesting just listen to Eric talk about Audis. Like, that's just he said, you know, he thought that he was putting almost too much on Arkansas's plate defensively, and he didn't focus just a whole lot on the offensive end. But he said it's amazing what kids can retain when you demand more. And I think kids are paying attention to that. They want a coach to demand a lot of them, because they, you know, they see that they can get a lot of shine and a lot of praise and publicity if they, you know, they go out and just do what they're asked to do. You know, they can be on a big stage and be one of the stars and one of the reasons that a team is moving on, and you're going to get, you know, lots of notoriety from that.
You know, Musselman's really become a coaching star in March. You look at the teams that are left in the Sweet 16, and, you know, it's not this way for everybody. UNC's got Hubert Davis, who's in his first year there. Of course, St. Peter's is the Cinderella team left. But Dudley, you look at this, and I mean, just look at the coaches left, and so many of them are coaches who have had a lot of postseason success. Kelvin Sampson, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Larrañaga at Miami, Jay Wright at Villanova. You've got Matt Painter at Purdue, Bill Self going on down the list, Mick Cronin at UCLA now. You know, he's taken a couple of different programs to the Sweet 16, and Mark Few, who we'll see on Thursday night. And I think you can put Eric Musselman, maybe not in the Krzyzewski category, but, you know, in the others, I think he's certainly right there with most of these other coaches who are brand names in March.
Oh, is Coach K in the tournament? I hadn't heard them mention that.
Did you not know?
You know, congratulations to him. I certainly respect his coach, and he's done a lot. But I agree with you that in somewhere, Coach Musselman is stuck between being one of the hot young shots, because he's not necessarily young, and one of the veteran old guys, because he's not necessarily that either. But what he has done is gotten a lot of respect from not only the people in the conference, but obviously nationwide, and those who follow college basketball. Again, I think his charisma and his social media stuff and never seeing an interview he didn't want to do helps that as well. But he has certainly established himself I am sure that as he continues to win, that there are going to be schools that come after him and programs that want to have him as their head coach. But I think just like Coach Pittman, he's pretty settled in here. His family enjoys it. It's something that, I mean, he's building here. Obviously, they have a great recruiting class coming in next year and could add to that here in a week or so when for the McDonald's during the McDonald's American game if they had Anthony Black. But I do think that he's just earned a lot of respect already. I think had a lot around the country, but now even as y'all mentioned, the casual fan knows who he is, what's going on, and what Arkansas is doing. And you know, I've never made any secret of my friendship with Mike Anderson. You know, from the time that he had been here. But obviously, it's turned out to be a fantastic hire by Hunter Yurcheck, who's earning every dollar that he's getting.
There was a media opportunity with Eric on Sunday. You know, I think it was at like 12:15 Eastern, so it was, you know, roughly 12 hours after, you know, Arkansas had, you know, punched their ticket to the Sweet 16, and we go over, to the team's hotel. They're getting ready to leave Buffalo and walk back into the kind of their banquet hall where they had a team breakfast that morning, and there's a big screen in there. I would imagine that's where they started watching some of the Gonzaga film. There's already depth charts with Gonzaga's player names on that, and then there's another big sheet of paper that had about six or seven of the key Gonzaga statistics to know. So I mean, there was a quick celebration Sunday night with the fans and some of the players and the staff, obviously, at the hotel. Then the staff ate, and they got right to work on Gonzaga. As I think this is a game where you need, you know, pretty much all the prep time you need, given their, you know, their number one offensive team in the country in terms of efficiency. They're number nine in defensive efficiency. Like, they just do so many different things well. This game is going to be super interesting to me, though, because me and Bob did research last year on how good Eric's teams have been when they've had 4+ days of rest. They've been excellent. Like, Eric's teams have been almost lights out when they've had that much time to prep. So that, I think that makes this game all the more interesting. Gives Eric plenty of time to focus in on a couple of really, really, really unique guys and Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy. So they got to work right away on preparation. And Eric's teams, I mean, we obviously know this. We're 3 years in, but we knew this by the end of about probably halfway through year one, his teams are going to be, they're going to be prepared. It's just a matter of going out and executing. But, you know, in the NCAA tournament, they've much more often than not, they've, you know, done a really good job of taking care of business.
Dudley made the point about Mike Anderson and Hunter Yurcheck, and I've thought about that quite a bit over the last couple of days. That decision that Yurcheck made 3 years ago was a really, really hard personal decision for him. I've talked to him about this on multiple occasions. He said it was a really hard professional decision and a personal decision. Said it was probably the hardest decision he's ever made in an AD job, but it has really paid off for Arkansas. And you've got to give Hunter Yurcheck a lot of credit, I think, for his vision, seeing that the Arkansas program could go further than where it was in 2019. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Arkansas will play Gonzaga on Thursday. It's a 6:09 p.m. Central tip-off at the Chase Center in San Francisco. It'll be televised by CBS. And because Coach K is going to be in San Francisco, so is Jim Nantz and the rest of CBS's A-team. Grant Hill, Bill Raftery, Tracy Wolfson will be the announced team for that game. Arkansas and Gonzaga will play the early game in San Francisco, and then they'll be followed by Duke and Texas Tech. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this is a home game for Gonzaga. I don't think people quite understand how vast the Western U.S. is. This is 875 miles from Spokane, Washington. To give you a comparison, it would be like calling an Arkansas game in Cheyenne, Wyoming, a home game for the Razorbacks. That's a comparable distance away from Fayetteville. And so, but where I think Gonzaga probably does have a little bit of an advantage, Scotty, is the fact that they get to stay in their time zone. And they make a lot of these trips down to California because they play in the West Coast Conference. And that's going to be the real challenge, I think, for the Razorbacks is going to be all this travel that they're going through. I mean, they've gone from Central time zone to Eastern in Tampa, back to Central, back to Eastern in Buffalo, back to Central. Now they're going to the West Coast. We see this a lot of times with teams in professional sports when they're making those cross-country trips, you know, quite frequently. They don't always play that well, and I think that the time difference is going to be one thing to really watch this weekend.
Yeah, when I talked to Eric Musselman on Sunday, I asked him if he felt like he was kind of back in his pro days with all the, you know, the rapid changes in time zone. And you know, they left Buffalo on Sunday. They're back in Fayetteville until Tuesday, and then they'll fly out west, get a practice day in. I imagine they'll probably practice, shoot around, do something like that on Tuesday when they get to the San Francisco area, and then they'll have their press conference day, and then another shoot around on a Wednesday before the Thursday game. But yeah, Eric, like in addition to, you know, kind of the introduction to Gonzaga prep and, you know, sending guys clips and different things on Gonzaga, you know, Eric talked to his guys about how, you know, these frequent changes in time zone and cross-country travel, how that affects, like, even, you know, people who get paid to do this for a living, like NFL players, NBA players, hockey players, like grown men are affected by these time changes and cross-country travel. And I mean, if it does that to grown men, it can do it to college kids. And so Eric was, you know, really emphasizing to his guys that they've got to be really locked in just physically. You know, you got to take care of your body. You got to make sure that your mind is right, your body is right. And you've got to take care of that first before you can, you know, to maximize what you could do on a basketball court. And he really, really, I think he really got that point across. I think the team is just going to enjoy, not that they didn't enjoy their time in Buffalo, but it was pretty cold, and there wasn't, outside of Niagara Falls, like there wasn't just a whole lot to look at. I think San Francisco is going to be a different deal, and maybe they're going to feel like, no offense to Buffalo, but it's going to feel like your quality of life is a little bit better on the West Coast. So I think the only adjustments really that they'll have to make is just with the time zone. I think on the West Coast, you're 2 hours ahead of what you are Central time. But I think Eric's really looking forward to getting out to the West Coast. His mom is going to be able to make it to the game. I think it'll be his first time, the first time that she'll have seen him since he's been the coach at Arkansas. So he's really, really pumped about that.
And then there's no irony lost, the fact that he's going to be coaching in the Warriors arena.
Exactly.
Didn't coach in that arena. It's a new arena, but was the former head coach of the Warriors in the NBA. Dudley, we've seen Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament a couple of games not really look like an overwhelming type team. I mean, they're certainly winning their games, but you know, we saw this with Arkansas back in the mid-90s. When you get that number one overall seed slapped on you, the pressure can be really tough. And we saw that with the baseball team last year, even when they were playing in the regionals against Nebraska and North Carolina State. But going back to Gonzaga, they struggled to put away Georgia State. They finally did in about the last 7 or 8 minutes of that game. Then they had a real fist fight with Memphis the other night, beat them 82-78 in the second round. They were down by 10. This doesn't look like an unbeatable Gonzaga team. Certainly they're the favorites, and they're going to have a tough matchup for Arkansas, especially say like with Drew Timmy inside. But this isn't a game that you go into thinking that Arkansas just has no chance. You know, with the teams they've played, you think they've got a chance to win this game.
Yeah, it apparently took a expletive filled pep talk from Drew Timmy the other night to get them going. He thought they were playing soft in the first half, and certainly Memphis was coming right at them, and that's the thing you get when you're the number one. You get everybody's best shot. I'm sure that Arkansas, and I don't know how to quantify this again, but I'm sure that Arkansas is going to be more ready to play and play better against a team that they respect and has respect around the country instead of New Mexico State. Because while New Mexico State and Teddy Buckets, you know, played well the other day, that's not a team that you look at, unless I guess you're Mississippi State, and say is a great basketball team, since they hired their coach Chris Jans away right after it was over with. And I'm sure that was in on the move, you know, before it happened. But I think they'll be ready to play. As far as Gonzaga, they've had to have guys, the older guys, step up and make big plays. Chet had 9 points and 9 rebounds the other night. He is a unicorn, but you also can beat him up down low. You know, it'll be tough for Arkansas defensively against him, but I think they can go right at him and score. And he's been foul prone throughout the year. It's going to take one of Arkansas's best efforts from this year, an effort similar to what they have had at home against you know, some of the other SEC powers. But I do think it's quite possible. I certainly wouldn't bet my house on it. Would probably bet yours, Matt, but not mine.
Well, I think Gonzaga fans are probably looking at the first two scores from Arkansas's games, and they're saying, oh, we could probably, you know, really shut that offense down. But the way that Gonzaga, you know, they weren't exactly locked in on the defensive end. I mean, neither one of their games, give up 72 points to Georgia State, and then, you know, a Memphis team that turns the ball over as much as I would against pressure. I mean, they gave up 78 points to that team too. So I think Arkansas probably feels pretty good going into this game, and they'll probably feel really, you know, they'll probably feel even better, you know, after, you know, the game plan is laid out and they get that, you know, locked and loaded. It's going to be really interesting to me to look at the matchups in this game, like who defends who. I would imagine that Jalen Williams is going to get the assignment on Drew Timmy. So that leaves, you know, who's going to check Chet Holmgren. And if I was, you know, if I was in charge, I'd probably have Stanley Amude on him. I think Stan's got really good length, and he's athletic enough, and Chet's not, you know, super mobile. Stanley could keep him in front, and Stanley's well put together enough that, you know, he could, you know, if Chet tries to back down, he might be able to shoot over the top of him a little bit with a little bit more ease than other guys. But that's not a matchup where Stan's going to get bullied, I don't think. So, and then obviously I think you can probably put Audis Tony on Andrew Nimhard, who I believe is a Florida transfer. And so, yeah, he played 2 seasons at Florida before going to Gonzaga in his second year there. But the matchups are going to be super interesting to me. And just we'll see if Eric pulls out more notes from another matchup where maybe he played a 7-footer back in the day and maybe draws a little bit of inspiration from that. I'm going to be really looking forward to seeing what they do defensively against Gonzaga.
A lot of really good defensive teams, I think, are in this region. Texas Tech is maybe the best defensive team left in the tournament. Arkansas could maybe make an argument for that as well. It seems to me like Arkansas and Texas Tech are really the two teams in this field who have nothing to lose. The pressure is going to be all on, you know, Coach K and Gonzaga, the number one overall seed. It just feels like Arkansas and Texas Tech, those two teams are going to be probably able to play a little bit looser than the other teams are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, I think back to when Arkansas went to LSU and Keith Smart was, you know, running things while Eric Musselman was just recovering from shoulder surgery. And after the game, after, you know, Arkansas won, we asked the guys just like how they did it and like how was Coach Smart, you know, in terms of leading the team. And he told the guys that, hey, we got nothing to lose and we got everything to gain. I think this is another one of those instances where I don't think, well, I mean, if you look at all the people that filled out brackets, over 90% of people didn't think Arkansas would make it to the Sweet 16. And, you know, probably after Arkansas narrowly, in quotations, like beat Vermont, I don't think a lot of people maybe expected for them to get by, just because they didn't play a great game really on either end, gave up a bunch of threes, and their efficiency on offense wasn't great. But I just think that they're going to feel like kind of they got their backs against the wall, and they're just going to kind of go out and throw out everything they got. I think that's just what you do at this time of the year, because, I mean, everybody's expecting now for the number one overall seed in the tournament to eliminate you. And so I think all the pressure is on Gonzaga, and I think Arkansas can just kind of go out there and play freely a little bit, and, you know, just kind of see what happens. But I know for sure that, you know, Gonzaga is going to get Arkansas's best shot, and there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, going back to kind of some thoughts I had earlier, Arkansas, I mean, it's not a free shot, but it certainly feels somewhat like that. They were able to play the underdog role, you know, with Arkansas not being a trendy pick, with Vermont being the trendy pick and all that. And now they'll get the opportunity to do the same thing. Around this university, us against the world has been a rallying cry for a long time, and it remains even when Arkansas has success. Its fans don't think they're getting enough credit. So I am sure that it's going to be a great game. Scotty, I know you and Matt and I all agree that 6 o'clock is a much better time than 8 and 9.
And this is a team that 100% believes that they belong on the same floor with Gonzaga, and that they can beat Gonzaga. I mean, you look at the teams that Arkansas has beat, maybe, you know, they got a lot of those teams that they beat, the really good ranked teams that are also no longer playing in the tournament. They beat those teams, and they know that they belong. And I think they're going to go into this game with that confidence that, you know, we belong on the floor with the best in the country, because we are one of the best in the country.
One last thought on the Sweet 16, enjoy it, because you never know how long it's going to be before the Razorbacks get back to that point. Who would have thought in 1996 that it would take the Razorbacks 25 years to get back? Certainly, though, it feels like the Razorbacks are getting back to that point that they are going to be a contender in March for the foreseeable future. Arkansas and Gonzaga, Thursday night at 6:09 p.m. Central on CBS. Scotty's our jet setter. He'll be heading out to San Francisco tomorrow. Bob Holt will be there as well. Go to WholeHogSports.com all week for their coverage from San Francisco. Also hope you'll check out the Whole Hog Baseball podcast. Bubba Carpenter and I will be back with another episode later this week to look back at the Razorbacks' 3-game series sweep against Kentucky in the SEC opener, and to look forward to the upcoming series against Missouri in Columbia. You can find all of our podcasts, football, basketball, baseball, by searching Whole Hog Radio, that's three words, WHOLEHOGRADIO, on Apple, Spotify, or in most other podcast stores. Hope you'll leave us a rating and a review. It'll help others find our podcast. And again, hope you'll visit us at WholeHogSports.com all week for our latest basketball coverage. For Scotty Bordelon and Dudley Dawson, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.